Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Killing more people in mere minutes than the entire war had in a year.
He turned to mist and killed everybody?
Exactly.
That's...
And people did choke on the mist.
Oh, that's... Imagine being something and a million people choke on you at once.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Hey everybody, Loreboy's here. Welcome to the show.
That was quick.
We host the show. Yeah, I know. I was going as quick as our sound check.
Yeah.
James got me in the Sonic mode. Welcome to the show. We're the Loreboys. We talk about lore.
And boys. And the boys therein.
Yes. We're talking today about Magic the Gathering, because there was a big Magic the Gathering release last week. So for everyone who's listened to our last Magic the Gathering episode, this is going to kind of touch off there. We're going to do a quick recap for those who maybe didn't catch it.
Were you there for that?
No,
I wasn't there. Yay. I was in,
but you and I,
yeah, I was in Ontario, but I remember I listened to it actually this week, just to brush up. It's the War of Two Brothers,
yeah.
Two Brothers, and One Cup.
Yeah.
Two Brothers, Two Rock, One Plane. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Two Stone, One Portal.
Yeah, that's it.
Michael Jackson was there.
Yeah.
The Planeswalker.
Yeah.
I just looked at the art and Googled who the fuck that was. And I was like, Urza. I was like, yeah, okay, that's coming back to me.
Yeah.
Michael Jackson had a video game called The Moonwalker.
Moonwalker, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, that was why. Yeah, that was the reference.
Okay, good.
Thank you.
Oh, it's also the dance, right?
I had an English teacher who was like British as fuck who could do it. Like,
oh, yeah?
Really, really
the
well.
Moonwalk? The Moonwalk,
yeah.
Well.
Oh, play the game.
Play NES.
Oh.
No, yeah. No, do the Moonwalk.
Was it NES or SNES?
Arcade
cabinet. Might have been an arcade machine.
I think it was NES.
I don't actually know.
I think it was NES.
I think I've only seen Moonwalker 2, so I don't know.
Mm.
They made a sequel?
I think so, yeah.
It's Echo the Dolphin?
Yeah. Great games. So.
That didn't make any sense.
Dominaria.
What?
Do you guys remember what Dominaria is?
Is it the plane that that Urza and Jace are from?
Yeah.
Not Jace. Jace is a completely other character. I'm surprised you know his name, because we didn't talk about him last time.
He's I don't, maybe it's just because there's a dude.
He's popular.
There's a dude I work with who has like a Jace Funko Pop.
Yeah, yeah.
At work.
Yeah, he's part of the Gatewatch. We'll be talking about one of the. I'll brush up on who the Gatewatch is, and we're mainly gonna be talking about one of the other members of the Gatewatch.
So Dominaria is it's the plane directly above Submanaria, right?
Yeah.
It's Dom and Sub. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You can buy, they've got a lot of outlet malls. You can buy a lot of leather.
Yeah, exactly. So Dominaria is a plane. It's the central plane in the Magic multiverse.
Okay.
So it's the one that has,
it's
like,
Midgard.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what that is.
That's Earth in Norse mythology, but
yeah.
I'm not sure.
Speaking of which.
About the metaphor.
Quick review. How was Infinity War?
Oh, Infinity War was good.
There we go.
I saw it today.
Loreboy's hot take.
It's Friday. I went out and saw it.
Loreboy's hot take. It was good.
If you like the Marvel Collective Universe, go see it.
Cool.
Actually, funny thing about the Gatewatch, Jace, who is a planeswalker, who's part of the Gatewatch, which I'll touch on later. Some people like them as characters, but I feel like a lot of people have the same problem that Jamie and a lot of people have with the Marvel Collective Universe, which is every single set that comes out nowadays, it revolves entirely around this group of super friends called the Gatewatch.
Oh.
Jace Bellerin's probably...
Is he the Iron Man?
Yeah, kind of, yeah. He's the super smart telepath who's makes a lot of the decision. And Liliana Vest, who's probably the most interesting character who we're going to talk about.
Oh, you can't call them telepaths. I think you have to call them, like, differently thinking or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, telepath is a slur.
Yeah.
So where we left Dominaria, the Silex Blast had devastated the land. Do you remember what the Silex Blast was?
Somebody had tried to power up one of the crystals or something.
Yeah, Urza, in his war with his brother, got desperate. Somebody gave him, Ashnod gave him a powerful artifact called the Silex, the Golgarian Silex, and he detonated it.
And it opened, the spark activated for someone in this blast.
Yeah, Urza got his spark.
And
there.
Killed his brother.
Yeah, killed his brother.
Right, because you couldn't become a planeswalker unless you had did something intense enough. Yeah. Workout or whatever.
Yeah, you're basically always a planeswalker, but it was only like
it had to get
on leg days. Yeah. You got your spark.
Yeah, Urza and Misha are the brothers. Urza goes wild, he lets off an explosion, kills his brother, then Urza goes mad and tries to reverse time to bring his brother back.
Yeah, he basically becomes obsessed with it.
Okay.
So
what was his brother's name?
Mishra.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Urza and Mishra was corrupted by the plane of Phyrexia.
Delta Airlines.
Which was like a bunch of rope, like
he got dragged out of a Delta Airlines plane.
Yawgmoth.
Hit his head and sued them.
Yawgmoth, who was the big baddie.
Yawgmoth and Yams.
Yawgmoth and Yams was the title of the episode. Yawgmoth, who was the big baddie, ended up grabbing a bunch of like sick people from Dominaria, and he offered them a home, like a new home. He said, oh, you'll be safe here. Like, we'll get you all cured, because they were being poisoned by the radiation from all the machines in Dominaria.
Right. Oh, yeah, they were like coal miners, weren't they?
Yeah, they lived in the caves underneath the city. Right. So he offered them an escape. He said, come with me. I'll give you like a new home. And they all came to Phyrexia with him, and he slaughtered them all and used their parts to graft onto machines and made like horrible abominations.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they were poisonous too, because their radiation doesn't really affect the person, but it affects everyone.
Actually, Phyrexian, in terms of the card game, there's a mechanic called Infect, which is if a creature has Infect, for every point of damage it hits you with, it gives you a counter. No matter how much life you have, you can have like 150 life, but if you have 10 Infect counters, you just lose.
You can build stacks, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
It's a frustrating mechanic.
Just a quick quick question here, just in regards to that. What does proc mean? Because I know a status proc is something you can inflict on somebody.
Right?
If you inflict a damage over time thing or a status effect.
Yeah, in terms of video games, I'm not familiar with it in terms of Magic the Gathering, but in terms of video games, it would be like something, it's like a trigger.
Yeah.
Okay, but why is it called a proc?
So I don't know why it's called a proc, but an example of a proc.
No, I know what a proc would be.
For the listeners, I guess, like, like if you're playing as a mage, the more damage you do, you charge up like a mana meter that maybe gets like three things, and then proccing is using each of your three things. Like,
or it's like you need to get six stacks, and then it'll proc an effect. Which means trigger.
Yeah. Oh, okay, that's what I was wrong, because I did a couple of Warframe alerts for the first time in a while, just before I came here.
Yeah.
And I know to proc status is you build up enough something, poison or bleed or whatever, and then you can, then that does like dots, basically.
Yeah. It's a trigger as far as I know.
Yeah. Okay. My Frost Mage in World of Warcraft had that. I would get like three little icicles next to me, and I could use those, and it would do extra damage if someone was frozen, but I didn't always have the icicle. So you'd save them up, freeze someone, then pop all three of them.
Okay. In Magic the Gathering, it is very specifically trigger an ability.
Okay.
Because like Magic the Gathering has, like I mentioned the last episode, has a lot of rules.
Yeah.
And a lot of the rule, I mean, it's the 25th anniversary this year. And like over 25 years releasing like 4+ sets a year, like a lot of these rules kind of interact in really interesting ways if you go back to like the really early cards and the really new cards. So like wording is super important.
Okay.
So it's like when they say triggered ability, it's only ever a triggered ability, and you're like, you're wrong if you're calling it a proc, you know?
Oh, wow.
You'll trigger someone.
It's a deep world, that whole Magic the Gathering.
It's
a rabbit hole for sure.
Yeah.
Super interesting. A pretty high barrier to entry, because of cost.
I feel that as well.
If you want to have like a standard deck that's like at least a couple $100 a year, just to stay competitive.
There's a word that I forget what it is, but in a type of tournament where they let you print out the cards, so they don't, cost doesn't become a thing. It's only strategy. You're allowed.
Yeah, that's like only in official tournaments. So just be like. Like at work, they do that.
Okay.
Because you're playing with your friends. Who cares, right?
Oh, okay.
But no, like official tournament.
I think that's great.
Sanctioned tournament.
I think that's a great idea, because then anyone can come in and just be relevant, and you don't have to spend a ton of money.
It does make sense why Wizards of the Coast, the creators of Magic the Gathering, would say no sanctioned tournament. That doesn't count in any sanctioned tournament, though.
It does make sense.
They do kind of want their payday.
Yeah. I would like it if like they had like smaller tournaments where that would be allowed, right? Because then they would spark interest and like, bring people in.
Yeah, it's so, like Make-A-Wish Foundation for Magic, where you print out cards and give them to sick kids.
The problem with that is like you could go to an FNM, like a Friday Night Magic, which like every game store does.
Yeah.
But if you did that, like there are people there who did spend money on their decks, and if you're showing up with like better, stronger cards because you didn't have to pay $200 for that one card, you know, then those people get pissed too. So it's kind of tricky. Like
then it punishes you for actually buying the cards.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So it's kind of tricky.
I see.
Gotta bleed everybody, is what he's saying.
Yeah.
We left Dominaria after the last episode, right after the Silex blast.
In a state of ruin. As we leave many things.
Yeah,
behind.
Exactly. It's like our calling card.
Yeah, it's like
we're the wet bandits.
Home Alone lore next week.
The continent of Argoth had been destroyed. Tidal waves killed thousands. The land had been plunged into an ice age. The entire plane was shifted off its axis, and an artifact called the Shard of Twelve Worlds had formed, excuse me.
Okay.
Disrupting the multiverse significantly. So the Shard was basically when Urza activated the Silex, he asked someone else to do what he could to protect Dominaria, like the plane itself, from the devastation that he knew it would rot. And while this person was casting their spell to try and protect the plane, coupled with all the magic energy coming off the Silex, it basically formed this shard which housed 12, like Dominaria and 12 other planes with it.
Okay.
And they're basically, and since Dominaria is the center of the multiverse, it's
radiate out?
It's where all magic kind of comes from, and now it's kind of cut off. So the rest of the multiverse just kind of has like the remnants of this.
Okay. Are they aspected, these 12 new planes, I guess?
They are. I mean, each plane in Magic the Gathering is themed.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say aspected because each one typically has each of the five or six types of
Western
mana.
Western plane, jungle plane.
Yeah. So the
1950s sci-fi robot plane.
Yeah, exactly. which is kind of Phyrexia, just more horrific, I guess. I guess that's not Mary. That's the Thran. But another recap of Magic. It works. There's five different types of mana. There's white mana, blue mana, black mana, red mana, green mana.
Yeah.
Green mana is typically associated with growth and life. Red mana is typically associated with fire and destruction. Black mana is associated with death and life. Blue mana is typically...
bullying.
What's that?
It's bullying, right?
Blue is bullying?
Yeah, because the guy who was the first master blue guy got bullied in mage school.
He did get bullied.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
He got bullied
in mage school. You could summon all these kind of like chubby blonde kids to harass you.
That was Jace. So, not the first major blue guy, but,
fuck you, nerd.
The big blue guy now.
That's how he set off his spark. If you haven't listened to the last episode, he set off his spark because he got bullied. Some people take a nuclear blast. Some people just got to get bullied in school a bit.
Retcon, that's not how it happened. But he was getting bullied, but he ended up going to work for a Sphinx, Alhamaret. Alhamaret was training him to use his like telepathic abilities. And Alhamaret was like, oh, I'm a diplomat. I help this country. They're in a war with another country. Like I'm helping them. Like I'm an advisor to them or whatever. So you go be my proxy and be the advisor for them.
Okay.
Jace comes back one day and decides to try out his powers on his master, the Sphinx. And he reads his mind. He finds out that Jace has already had his Planeswalker Spark trigger once. His master basically like cast a spell on him and like suppressed it in him.
Oh.
And his master's also been working both sides of this war for like profit.
Wow.
So then Jace confronts him, gets in a fight with the Sphinx.
Okay. But her emails?
That's what triggers his
yeah. That's what
he read the Sphinx's emails and he was just like, oh no.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what wakes up his magic inside. He goes from a muggle to a invited to Hogwarts.
Lock Sphinx up.
Yeah.
Lock Sphinx up. Lock Sphinx up.
Yeah. He's a crook. He's a crook, I tell you.
Yeah.
He's playing both sides.
What was his name?
Alhamaret.
Crooked Alhamaret.
Crooked Alhamaret. Yeah. Put it on a t-shirt. So the blast also had another effect. It created what is called a rift. Rift is kind of what you think it would be. It's a rift in time and space.
Is that how you go between
It's a bad MMO.
Yeah.
That was my first thought.
Yeah. That's not how you go between planes. To travel between planes, planeswalkers use what's called the Blind Eternities.
Cool.
Which is kind of like the... Event Horizon. It's like a less bloody, I guess. It's like in Warhammer where it's the warp. you know, you just, you go to this, the dark, the upside down, and that's how you travel across great distances.
Well,
kind
it
of
is
thing.
A lot like Event Horizon, but with less...
Less blood orgies.
Barbed wire orgies.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Not as good.
So, nope. Rifts...
Yeah, way less fun. Yeah,
Rifts do cut planes off from their mana source, and they cause rifts in time and space, like I said. They also influence each other, and if left alone, they multiply, so one rift can spawn more rifts.
They're like bunnies.
Can they just...
Yeah, they fuck like rabbits.
You might not know that, but if like rifts keep multiplying, that means trouble for the plane, right? Can it destroy a plane if it just keeps rifting up?
Yeah, well, it's kind of eventually what happened.
Keep rifting up.
Yeah, rift it up.
That'll be our next t-shirt. Rift it up.
Rift it up. Yeah. With like a very cool kid skateboarding on it.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
kid skateboarding is so cool.
Yeah. Or like a really strong, like, get rift.
We talked
about this sort of just before, where it's just like, yeah, when you do leg day, you get your fucking powers. It's like, get ripped.
Get ripped. And Planeswalker Spark.
No, it's all about, it's just guys being dudes.
Yeah. Exactly. So, at the time, after the Silex Blast went off, there was already one other rift on Dominaria. It had gone long undiscovered, so like nobody noticed it. It's kind of, it cuts off the mana, but it's kind of centralized, and it was kind of in the middle of nowhere, or in a no man's land now, because it was at the site of a battle between the first Planeswalker duel, which was between character named Nicol Bolas,
I remember him,
who's a very important character,
and Kaiba,
and we will be coming back to, and an unnamed, an unnamed
Yugi, Nicol Bolas.
Yeah.
You can't attack on
but
your first
Nicol
turn.
But Nicol Bolas is the dragon. What is Kaiba going to do? He can't play Blue Eyes White Dragon against an elder dragon.
That's true, man.
Wake up, Kaiba.
You're done. You're done, dude.
Guess who's going to the Shadow
Realm? Better get a fusion card or something.
No, it's an unnamed demonic Leviathan. So can you guess who won the fight?
Nicol Bolas.
Yeah, good job, Peter.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't, like, I know that Nicol Bolas is big, but... An unnamed Leviathan sounds pretty cool,
and
too.
The point goes
but one of them walked
Nicol
away.
Bolas,
one of them walked away. This is ancient times.
Only one of them walked away. That's important.
Yeah.
I thought maybe like this was what sparked Nicol Bolas.
No, where the Leviathan falls, it'll be a place called the Talon Gate, I believe.
Okay.
And it's like Nicol Bolas's most prized trophy is what he considers it. So he goes back and visits all the time and just like strokes himself from the corpse of this Leviathan.
This is who I lost my virginity to.
Yeah, exactly.
You never forget
my Planeswalker virginity.
I keep the panties with me, still in my wallet every day.
Hold it up.
Yeah, exactly.
Want to see a picture of my kids? It's like that plastic thing, like, and it's like child panties, child. You're like, what's this one in the middle here?
Child panties, child dead enemy.
Nicol Bolas's wallet. Weird shit inside of it. What's Nicol Bolas look like? Do we know?
He's a dragon. He has horns which go out and then come back in and go straight up.
Oh, Diablo?
And he has a stone levitating between them.
Cool.
And that's very specific because that becomes his symbol. And in the set Hour of Devastation, that's the set symbol. So each set that comes out, like Dominaria, Return to Dominaria, the latest set to come out, has it's like a helmet. It's Urza's head. Or not Urza's, sorry, but Karn's head.
Okay.
Basically.
Who's Karn?
Karn is a construct which Urza created, becomes so... If you guys remember, Urza was like super into machines. He built a ton of robots and stuff. So he built this one robot who was actually capable of becoming a planeswalker himself.
Oh, wow.
And he gave it to another planeswalker, Teferi, who's another really important character that I wasn't planning on getting into. But another planeswalker who deals with time a lot.
Cool.
Yeah. And Karn and Hour of Devastation, the set symbol is that.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Is
he sounds fucking
awesome. Nicol Bolas's little headpiece. Hour of Devastation is part of the Amonkhet block, which I'll touch on later because it's really, really cool. That's the Egyptian one, and it's so cool that I shoehorned it into this episode because it's too cool. I can't not talk about it. So Urza, rather than dealing with the rifts, he's still mourning his brother, and he's dealing with the ever-present threat of Phyrexia. He has resealed the portal.
What is Phyrexia?
Phyrexia is the plane of monsters. Meat and machine monsters.
Oh, okay, so Nazi robot, zombie
exactly,
things.
Coming that through. That plane where Yawgmoth and his servants doth dwell.
Okay.
He's resealed the portal, but the potential that the servants of Yawgmoth find a way across to Dominaria is ever present. Researching as best he can, he attempts to build a time machine. He ends up destroying the island of Teleria in the process and creates another rift.
Fuck.
Of course, he did many things to actually strengthen defenses as well, such as the Legacy, the Bloodline Project, which is literally like eugenics to create the perfect warrior.
Okay.
And he gathers allies, one of whom, I thought it was interesting whenever I was researching this, is Multani of Yavimaya. It's only interesting because he's a card in the new set.
Blonde hair, blue eyes, very tall.
Very interesting.
actually a tree folk, but tree close, folk. Yeah.
Okay. Hitler's ultimate dream.
Tree
more trees. Yeah.
So eventually the inevitable happens.
The ultimate weapon would just be the ants.
The most boring game ever, Nazi trees. They just slowly grow.
Yeah. And you just fucking run at them with an axe. Get out of here.
Board up that window!
It's Fortnite mid-game, pretty much.
Yeah. So eventually the inevitable happens, and the Phyrexian invasion begins. So this was a block in Magic the Gathering invasion.
What's a block?
It's two sets that are themed together. So Hour of Devastation and Amonkhet are both sets in the Amonkhet block.
Every year there's four sets and two blocks, right?
Two and two.
There's two sets of two that come out every year. I don't know.
No, there's more than that. There's eight sets, four blocks.
Okay.
Yeah.
I feel like we talked about this last episode, but I did not remember.
That's why I just listened to it like probably 5 hours.
So about fresh. 3 months ago in January, they had the Ixalan set. Ixalan
that's
and Rivals
we were
of Ixalan
recording in my block. Old apartment.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Right after they had announced that the next set would be Return to Dominaria. Mm. That one's really cool. It's got three suns, so it's basically always daytime, which means that vampires just like thrive there because these vampires are specifically adapted to never have to worry about, or they have to worry about the sun not being there.
Oh fuck! That was those dinosaur riding vampires. Dinosaur riding conquistadors.
There's dinosaurs, merfolk, and vampires.
That is amazing.
But they're daylight vampires. Yeah. They don't like the dark.
Very progressive merfolk. I like it.
Yeah, that's what they're called.
Merfolk and Folkets. Yeah.
So the Phyrexian invasion begins. Urza manages to rally a massive army and aboard his command vessel known as the Weatherlight. Again, I just threw that in because it's a
good
card in the new set.
And it's a good name for a ship.
They fight the good fight. The Weatherlight, yeah. Hannah was the ship's captain.
That's the name of your girlfriend.
It is also that. Dominaria.
Is she the
nepotism much?
Yeah, right.
Neptunism.
She. Little fun fact that I know that I don't have notes on, so I'm not sure how accurate it is. But the card Yawgmoth's Vile Offering depicts a guy, Hannah's boyfriend, not me. This Hannah, the Weatherlight ship's captain's boyfriend.
Gotcha.
After she dies, he makes a deal with Yawgmoth to bring her back to life, and Yawgmoth says, "You have to kill Urza." So he cuts off Urza's head.
How?
And offers it to Yawgmoth. Urza does not die and will eventually go on to beat Yawgmoth as a severed head. So don't you worry, Jamie.
What? Wait, like, how
Urza is like the most powerful character in the entirety of the Magic
Gathering. That's why I'm asking how, though. There's a lowly husband of a ship.
Lucky shot
owner,
I guess.
Like,
I don't know. I didn't research enough. I saw the card, which is in the new set. It's actually my phone background now.
Is it Urza's head with the little gears things?
No.
Huh.
What gear things?
I don't know. I saw a picture on
Are you
internet.
Thinking of Frankenstein and the bolts?
Oh yeah, never mind. I was thinking about Frankenstein's monster. Not Urza.
I was always thinking of Frankenstein's monster.
My mistake,
Peter.
Yeah.
I always mix those up.
Urza out on the ice, just like, oh no, don't kill me.
Oh, sets himself on fire. I would say the doctor was the real monster.
Well, Urza's kind of the doctor. He makes all those robots and stuff. Yeah.
So Dominaria would
Frankensteinian.
Yeah. Dominaria would eventually beat back the Phyrexian horrors, but here's a summary of some of the more important events.
Okay.
The most obvious result of the war was the death of billions. Phyrexia had led a vast army and plagues loose on Dominaria, and in the conclusion of the war, Yawgmoth himself had traveled through the portal in the form of a giant death cloud, killing more people in mere minutes than the entire war had in a year.
He turned to mist and killed everybody?
Exactly.
That's...
And people did choke on the mist.
Well, that's... Imagine being something and a million people choke on you at once. Yeah.
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 I love that.
Yeah.
The moon was destroyed.
Damn it.
Because it's something called the Null Moon. And the Weatherlight absorbed all the white mana from the Null Moon that had been gathering ever since it was brought into orbit 9,000 years ago. The moon
By
was,
God.
Yeah, the moon was destroyed, and Dominaria's night sky was changed forever.
Yeah, well, you can't really measure the effect of a real moon without a null moon, right?
Like, yeah, exactly.
You need that control. As your control, exactly. Yeah.
Exactly. Teferi, who I had mentioned earlier.
Like our current hollow moon.
Yeah, exactly.
That was put there by NASA in 1951.
Yeah. Nassau, yeah.
Yeah, Nassau.
By Nassau. I've been, the Central American company.
Ever since last Pirate Ghosts. Ever since last episode, I've been like really going hard on the flat earth thing. Like, yeah. I've been telling you, like, no, man. Sky's lower. We'll do it after.
It's such a fun, dumb theory, though. Yeah. I just love it so much.
I would love to do a Lore Boys episode on conspiracies one day. That would be definitely something, because I know some of the people who listen to this actually do send us feedback, which is fantastic. Yeah. Please continue. If you'd like us to do, like, the lore behind a conspiracy, I think that would be a fucking... Gas.
That'd be too much fun, dude.
That'd be a lot of fun.
You know what? Because I definitely have to do the Blake Jihad at some point, because I alluded to it so much, and I can stop doing BattleTech.
You got me all hard for it.
I know. I know. Yeah, I got Ethan edging here. I think next time I host, like maybe in a week or two, I'll do some conspiracies.
That'd be fun.
And you guys let me know what you think about that.
I'm in. I'll be there.
So
I know, Jamie.
I won't. I'm not coming. It's gonna be the first time I'm not on an episode. You're doing a fucking conspiracy.
Yeah, old, reliable. Yeah. Ethan.
So Teferi, the planeswalker I mentioned earlier, who was obsessed with time, and he was given Karn as a gift. He used to make fun of Karn. He called him Baldy all the time.
Did he call him Karny? Damn it.
Called him Baldy.
Oh, I remember this. Yeah.
What does Karn look like? He's bald.
He's bald. He's an iron golem. So
a lot like my dad.
He'd be
weirder if he had hair.
He's humanoid. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Hey, I think it was a playful nickname from Teferi. Karn didn't like it, though. But anyway.
He's going to have that shit.
during the Phyrexian invasion, Teferi decided he would rather avoid conflict than fight against the Phyrexians.
Conflict.
So he decides to phase out the northwest section of his continent and another continent just out of this existence.
I'm taking my Earth and going home?
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
And he's like, I'll bring it back once it's safe again. This caused a third, I think we're at three rifts now, four rifts now.
Yeah, it sounds like four.
So this caused the fourth rift, to appear.
That's assuming that, Yawgmoth coming in as a evil cloud counted as a rift.
Yeah.
No.
And what they can multiply too.
We have Bolas's fight. We have the brothers war. We have Urza's failed attempt to make a time machine. And now we have Teferi taking his Earth and
going
home. Right,
yeah. Okay. So he took his house and busted out.
Who is Teferian again? Sorry, Teferius?
Teferi is the planeswalker who's obsessed with time, who was given Karn as a gift.
Yeah. Okay.
The friend of Urza's.
Got you.
He's white-blue. After hearing of the death of his daughter, the master mage Baron, who we're not going to talk about, commits suicide by casting a devastating spell. Which was said to be almost as powerful as the Silex Blast. He completely liquefies what's left of Teleria after Urza had like basically blown it up. Wow. So like he goes out, but he fucking goes out in style.
Yeah, no kidding.
He's like, I'm gonna off myself, but in the most horrific way possible.
Fuck, man.
And it's like literally like these people of Teleria. Urza is like working in his workshop. He's like trying to build a time machine, blows up the whole fucking place. Like it's in ruins for like years, and like people are finally starting to rebuild, and this guy just like. Just liquefies the whole fucking place.
Yeah, like there's a guy like brushes past some sand. He's like, look, a sprout.
Yeah.
The first of the season. And it's just liquefied.
And it's like, what's that? What's that? Oh, hey, Baron, what you doing, buddy?
Yeah, or he just like blasted into a skeleton like Sarah Connor and Terminator 2. And he's still holding little bean sprout.
Yeah. So the master plan of Yawgmoth to win the war was to use the Plane of Wrath. He basically had a bunch of his guys sitting on a on another plane, just like building up their forces there.
They were plane benched, basically.
Yeah.
Is there like planes for all the sins?
Yeah.
plane of gluttony. There's a bunch
Wrath?
Of fat guys.
Is Wrath a sin?
Yeah, dude. Yeah. I've been playing Far Cry 5.
It definitely is.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Wrath, gluttony, envy.
Lust.
Greed.
Greed. There's two more.
Do we say gluttony? We said sloth.
Sloth, no.
And
seven.
Forgetfulness, apparently.
And podcasting. Yeah. Oh, God.
And podcasting.
Nobody told me. So he has all these people on this other plane, and Yawgmoth, the big bad guy, decides, I'm going to just fucking crash that plane into this plane in something called the Wrathy Overlay. He literally just like puts...
It's deceit.
Maybe? Sure.
It's yeah, isn't it? Because that's where Judas did that. It's because the circles of hell are like sins as well, and the lowest circle is deception. Is it not?
I don't know. I didn't do my research. Oh god, I'm so sorry, guys. I'm failing this Magic the Gathering podcast.
Yeah. Where were we?
So Yawgmoth's forces built up on another plane called Wrath. He said, "Fuck it, I'm gonna put both planes in the same place at the same time." Okay. It's something called the Wrathy Overlay. So like a bunch of these Phyrexian soldiers literally just appear instantaneously, like just hundreds of thousands of them.
Oh man.
Finally, in the aftermath of the invasion, enormous streams of refugees left their ancestral homes for a new life on Oteria, which was another nearby plane.
Okay.
Or one of the... Okay, so how Dominaria works is it's kind of split into subplanes, and this is kind of like one of the subplanes.
Is it more of like a cone and less like a web?
Sure, yeah. One of the... All
right, I'll take that.
But yeah.
I love the idea of like someone who's creating a universe, like a god, pretty much what Ethan is to us now, like being like, "Hey, so should this thing have wings?"
Yeah, sure, yeah,
whatever. Yeah.
But what you said, platypus was me.
What you said made sense.
Okay.
More of a cone.
Okay, good.
Okay, yeah, it's not a dismissive thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, it's got
I don't even know how a web would work.
It's got little layers.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. Well, a web would be
like an onion.
A centralized.
Dominaria is an onion. It's got layers.
Yeah.
It's a circle. It's like a sphere.
It's got layers.
Well, because I was thinking
it
web.
It makes you cry.
A web would be like a centralized plane, and then it like branched out into another plane that branched out into other planes, and that sort of shit would be like.
Okay,
a web.
Think of a web of cones. Then.
Okay. Oh man, that's like a parfait.
Yeah.
You know, my life's parfait.
So they go to this. All the refugees leave to this new place called Oteria. Only worth one of the few places not ravaged completely by the invasion.
Not ravages.
This creates even greater depopulation in the countries they left. I only really mentioned it because, ironically, it was here that only 100 years later, several other cataclysmic events happened. So it's like everyone's like, "Oh, we're picking up our shit, moving over there." And shit just goes so wrong over there.
Oh, no.
Jesus.
Corona.
That's like pretty much the Grapes of Wrath. That's the Grapes of Wrath plot. Back up and go out of West.
And they all rooted out there.
Yeah,
I haven't read that.
Yeah.
No, I read some Steinbeck, but not that.
Okay. That's good. Corona, known as the Mana of Dominaria Incarnate, was brought into being through a long series of events, which I'm not going to get into. But she just shows up one day. She destroys several cities, was eventually slain, creating the final major rift.
Okay, five rifts.
So this this almost...
Five rifts make a set.
Oh, yeah. There's one for every color of magic, too.
I think there's eight total.
Oh.
Eight major rifts. There's a lot of minor rifts too.
Okay.
So there's no significance to the number really.
Okay.
This just happens to be the last one. This kind of brings us up to date, or almost brings us up to date with where we're gonna jump back in. But we're gonna flash cut to the Planeswalkers and the Gatewatch. Like I said, I would talk about it a bit.
Planeswalker and the. Did you already introduce the Gatewatch?
No.
Not yet.
We have Gideon Jura. We have Jace Bellerin. We have Liliana Vess, we have Chandra Nalar, and we have Nessa Ravain.
Those are the five people who are all associated with each of the magics.
Yeah, those are the five original Gatewatch.
Gatewatch, which are the original Planeswalkers.
No.
They are keeping an eye on some kind of portal, as far as I know.
They form a group one day.
Nice. Says, okay.
Guys, let's start a band.
Okay, cool. It's like, you play the red, I play the blue.
Exactly. Exactly.
Jace hits up somebody on Facebook, like, "Hey man, you want to start a Gatewatch?"
Yeah.
He's like, sure. Kind of like Ethan started this podcast.
It starts on Zendikar, which is where Nyssa is from. The Eldrazi, who I briefly mentioned.
Yeah, those the white mana, maybe? Like Cthulhu robots, right?
Yeah, devoid mana. So they're colorless mana,
okay,
is what it's called. Yeah, they're like Lovecraftian horrors.
Mm-hmm.
It's
oh,
Cthulhu
that's right.
And the other guys.
I do recall that, yeah.
Cthulhu and Co. So they
Dagon.
were the Eldrazi were years ago imprisoned on Zendikar. One day they start to wake up, and Ob Nixilis, another planeswalker who's there on the same plane, decides to free a bunch of them because he lost his planeswalker spark and he's looking for a reason or a way to get it back.
Okay.
But Ob Nixilis would eventually get defeated, and that's kind of when the Gatewatch is formed. So all five of them show up, and Liliana doesn't join at the time yet, but the other four form the Gatewatch to begin with. we're gonna, they each have their own backstories. I can go over them quickly. Gideon was a troublesome youth.
Well, say the colors with them, that'll help.
Gideon is white.
Okay.
He was a troublesome youth. He was sent to jail because he was kind of doing like Robin Hood-esque stuff.
Oh,
like fighting for the underprivileged and stuff.
A white guy fighting for the underprivileged, really. Yeah,
that's Robin Hood.
Yeah, like, we got three. Oh, wait a second.
Just because,
Jamie, let me check the board. It's like, you got Bernie Sanders bingo. Yeah. 4 Points Podcast, 3 episodes in a row.
Talking about social inequality. Yeah, he goes to prison. The prison warden takes a liking to him.
Sure does.
He teaches him the ways of hieromancy, which is the magic of justice. Hiero being the Latin for justice, and mancy being like necromancy or something like that.
Oh, hierarchy is a justice
system?
I don't know.
Oh, man, that's interesting. Sounds like someone sent me a message.
Welcome to etymology, guys.
Yeah.
He eventually... okay, so for each of these, there's a original backstory, original origin, and then there's the revised origin. When the magic set Magic the Gathering Origins came out, they gave them each a revised, kind of polished up thing.
Neat.
So the polished up one was Cyclopses and Harpies invaded the city. The prison warden said, anybody who wants to fight, you can fight for your freedom, basically. So Gideon volunteers. The god Heliod.
Okay.
Heliod.
Oh, Heliod.
With a D. Okay. Yeah. Takes a liking to Gideon. A
lot of old, powerful men taking a liking to this Gideon.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, this giddy little...
Quite the twink we've got here.
Yeah. Giddy little white boy.
Pale white mana.
Oh, what a great go-getter you got there.
White is not colorless, right? White is a color
color
in the magic world.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was my confusion with the Eldrazi.
Yeah.
Was they're colorless.
They're colorless.
So that means they can be powered by any mana, correct?
They can be powered by any mana unless it specifically asks for colorless mana, which it sometimes does.
Okay.
So if we want to get in the weeds a bit here, there is a sixth quote unquote color, which is colorless mana.
No one's ever seen it, but it's so there.
It's unaspected.
The symbol for white mana is a sun. The symbol for blue mana is a drop of water. The symbol for black mana is a skull. Red mana is a fireball. Green mana is a tree. Colorless mana, it's just a diamond.
Yeah. So when I redid them for Team Turn 3, our buddy's YouTube channel, I remember drawing these and I had no idea what the diamond was.
Yeah. And some of them do. Some Eldrazi or just cards in general do require colorless mana to pay their costs. Some artifacts do as well. And they come from a whole bunch of lands, but also the basic land type for colorless is called wastes. So you have
like the salt flats, like in the Yucatan or whatever.
Well, you have like plains, which is for white. You have islands, which are for blue. You have swamps, which are for black. You have mountains, which are for red. And you have forests, which are for green. And then you have wastes, which are for colorless.
Okay.
Yeah. Interesting. Like those salt flats or whatever.
Yeah.
So Robin Hood, Mr. White.
Yeah,
idiot.
Robin Hood is sent by a god to go kill a titan. He's kind of showboating whenever he does that and kills all his men. He regrets it so much that he has his planeswalker spark. Jace Bellerin, I told you guys the story earlier. He gets in a fight with his Sphinx boss. His Sphinx boss triggers his spark.
He reads his mail and finds out all his secrets.
Yeah, exactly. he hacks the DNC. Chandra is the
Jace Pavlov Bellerin.
Chandra is red. She's a pyromancer, which is a fire mage.
Spicy.
She was born on Kaladesh. Which is a plane where pyromancy is illegal. You're not allowed to be a pyromancer.
That's unfortunate.
Oh,
sucks.
No.
Yeah.
It's like you're good at one thing.
Yeah.
It's not allowed.
So her parents are freaked out. They're like, what is going to happen to our baby?
We can send her to another dimension.
Yeah, and she's very unruly. So they say, okay, let's get her married. Let's make her have kids. She'll settle down. She'll leave this whole pyromancy thing behind her. She doesn't like that. To try and scare her parents off, she shoots off like a fireball, basically. Accidentally lights like a bunch of the town on fire because there's this huge blast. Wow. So she runs away into the mountains. She decides to go hide. The temple shows up and says, what's going on here? We know there's a pyromancer. We think everybody here is a pyromancer.
Oh, no.
So the punishment for your crimes will be, we're going to lock you all in your houses and your houses are going to burn with you in them. Sentences everybody in the village to die like that, including her parents. This is the original origins, not the revised origin. In the revised origins, her parents were like smugglers. They were smuggled something called aether.
Okay.
Which is like super gas.
Yeah. I'm good with sticking. Fuel. I'm good with sticking to the original.
Yeah. For the anyway, first time.
Just, yeah. She wanders back into town when her family's being burned. She decides to fight.
The Spanish Inquisition shit's like way cooler than the whole like my mom and dad were badass pirates smuggled magic drugs or some shit.
It's mostly the exact same. It's just also her parents were smugglers.
They were both other and girl Han Solo.
Yeah.
And who cares?
So she wanders back into town. She tries to fight. Baral, the chief of compliance, has anti-pyromancy magic basically, and he's
is it water or
it's just like
else?
One. Yeah, he's blue. Yeah.
Yeah. he's just a firefighter. Yeah. Yeah.
So she's sentenced to immediate execution. She's put on her knees. They hold her head back. They swing a sword at her neck, and like right as it's about to hit her, the trauma of that initiates her spark, and she planeswalks immediately.
Oh.
Nissa.
Oh, cool.
Nissa was born to a tribe. Nissa's an elf. She was born to a tribe.
She green?
No. Well, she's green colored. So
yeah.
That's her skin's not green or anything.
No, I meant like her mana. Her mana.
Yeah. Okay. So elf green. That makes sense.
Yeah. She's what's called an animist, which is like a green mate, like a druid, basically. She was born in a tribe where they said magic is bad. Like you shouldn't do it because it angers what's called the royal. So she's from royal R O I L. Like
say that again. Wait, R-O-I-L?
Royal.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, like boiled.
Not like royal.
Yeah.
Anyway, she's born on this plane to a tribe, and they say magic is bad because it angers the royal. The royal is basically when Zendikar is like a plane alive, like the earth is alive, and it just gets mad sometimes, and there'll be like earthquakes, and like the ground will shift. There's like
floating, it's testy. Okay.
There's like floating mountains in this plane. There's like There's like waterfalls which like appear out of nowhere and stuff. It's one of the cooler visual planes, I would say. But she says like, okay, I'm cool with that. We're not gonna piss off the royal or whatever. But she gets a vision one day of a darkness lying under a mountain to the east. And she decides to go check it out. On the way, she ends up fighting some vampires and stuff, and she pisses off the royal, but she realizes she's powerful enough that she can kind of connect to the earth and she can calm it down. So she can kind of control this plane better than most. And when she gets to the mountain to the east, she finds it's where all the Eldrazi Titans, Emrakul being one of them, all the Eldrazi Titans have been imprisoned for like the past however many millennia.
Okay.
Because a couple of other planeswalkers, anyway, we won't get into that, but they imprisoned all the Eldrazi on the plane of
That's a really cool
Zendikar.
Thing between some wizards and some Cthulhu monsters. We'll get into it.
I'd imagine the Eldrazi were a lot more reasonable before being in prison for millennia, and then now they come out and they're kind of crazy and they work off the waste.
They were always kind of crazy, but they're called both the... When Liliana puts on the chain veil and the Gatewatch eventually defeats the second Eldrazi invasion of Zendikar, she wears this artifact called the chain veil, and the chain veil calls the Eldrazi the world they call Emrakul, which is the most powerful Eldrazi, calls her the world destroyer and the world creator. So there's kind of some like unfinished lore there where it's like maybe the Eldrazi created everything, maybe they are like the actual, because there's gods in this in the world of Magic the Gathering, but maybe these are like kind of gods in a truer sense where they kind of exist above it.
Okay.
Because they're very big, very expensive. Like when you play the game, they're super expensive to cast. The first printing of Emrakul was 15 mana, which is like far and away the most expensive card.
Yeah, most games are over by the time you get to 15 mana.
Yeah, right? Most games, like you usually win like by turn 7, so usually you get ways to cheat it out. You go green, which allows you a lot of ways to put two mana out on a
That's
turn.
That's it. You drive a Tesla. And...
Yeah. You go green. Anyway.
Your canvas bag.
Yeah.
None of those four are the ones that we're talking about. We're going to be talking about Liliana.
Now I know what it's like to be on the other end of the Battletech mic, where it's like, there's a bunch of shit that happened. I'm going to talk about that later.
Well, you're the one who was saying, oh, there's a bunch of cool stuff going on over there, and I'm trying to gloss over it so smoothly. But
yeah.
You guys are making me nerd out over here.
No, it's cool. Hey, dude, we're following.
It's all about nerding.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why we're here.
I do love it, and I will talk all night.
Yeah.
So Liliana Vess, the fifth of the original Gatewatch, grew up in Benalia on Dominaria. So she's from Dominaria. Under the thumb of her father, a general and ruler of the lands he fought for, Liliana was taught the healing arts, though secretly she also dabbled in the forbidden arts of necromancy.
This is blue, right?
This is black.
Oh, okay. Yeah, necromancy. Yeah.
When you start with healing, I was like, is that blue?
It was It was just great because it was right as I said necromancy.
Necromancy. Blue.
It's blue, right?
Yeah, yeah, James.
I think the manipulation of death would enhance her healing abilities. So she's like, I'm going to just stop people from dying. That's kind of like healing, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, the only healing class in Diablo 2 is the necromancer. Yeah. Summoning,
just like keeps bringing people back, but they get like more and more decrepit.
So
please stop, doctor.
Yeah,
throw a photocopy of a photocopy.
Unplug me.
Liliana's privileged life would come to an abrupt end when her brother Josu suffered a horrible corruption at the hands of his father's enemies.
Antifa.
Yeah.
They hate privilege.
It's true.
That is true. When she went to retrieve Isis Root, just a generic healing potion, healing ingredient, number one, to cure him, she arrived too late. Her father's enemies had razed all the groves where the plant had grown. So she's there and she's like, shit, what am I going to do when this weird guy calling himself the Raven Man, who wears a raven's mask and has a bunch of ravens flocking around him?
He sounds really cool.
He sounds very dependable, right? Yeah. It sounds like the kind of guy you would trust.
Sounds raving mad.
He claims to be a supporter of her father. He offers his
writing desks.
He offers his assistance and instructs Liliana to use necromancy to reactivate the remains of the tree. So he says, use your necromancy, bring the tree back to life, just like you would do with a people, and prepare a potion out of the root then. So she returns to the castle, despite her teacher being like, where did you say you got this root? She decides to give the potion to her brother. It does cure him.
I got it from a crazy man shrouded in black birds. Trust me.
The crazy,
just make a tea out of it.
The crazy man shrouded in black birds only told her how to do it. She did it herself, Peter.
teach a woman to evil and...
You teach a woman to raise the dead, she'll eat for a day. Yeah. You teach a woman to raise a tree, she'll eat for a week.
Yeah, that's it.
That's an idiom.
Yeah, because it'll have like undead fruit that
matters. Yeah.
The fruits of her labor. Truly, it did cure his affliction, but at the cost of driving him insane and poisoning him with a new affliction. So,
damn it!
I mean, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
Right? Are you saying that the man shrouded in scavenging blackbirds was untrustworthy?
Untrustworthy, it turns out.
Man,
realizing that she had to kill the crazed creature that Josu had become, so
it's
he
like walking up to a van that just has candy spray painted onto it, or it's like a raven spray painted onto it. He's just like, hey. Hey, you want to get a poultice? You want some kakandi?
Her brother wakes up. He just starts killing everyone. Liliana is able to use his victims to turn into zombies to fight for her. She ends up defeating him.
Bad day for the zombies.
At that moment, she unlocks her Planeswalker spark.
Okay. Wait, I didn't catch the end of that. So she beats... Who is she fighting again?
Her brother.
Her brother.
Her brother, who she brought back to life.
But he was crazy.
But he's crazy, so then she summoned zombies to kill her brother, and that trauma made her...
Yeah.
Okay.
Walker. Gotcha. She initiates her Planeswalker spark. She ends up on a plane called Innistrad, which is angels and vampires and some other cool stuff.
Sounds actually familiar from working in a video game office. I feel like I've heard the name.
And lots of zombies.
Zombies, okay.
Okay, it's a spooky plane. It's Halloween Town.
It's kind of like the Salem during the witch trials feel. There's a card called like Unruly Mob, which is like a bunch of people with pitchforks like out to kill someone.
Oh, and torches and shit.
There's like a family of vampires called the Markovs, who are like the preeminent house in the area, and like Soren Markov at the time like rules the plane basically, and
cool.
She ends up studying on Innistrad with some liches and some vampires to perfect her necromancy. So she's,
pretty good.
She's getting her schooling. She's recovering from the trauma with her studies.
So
planeswalkers at the time are really, really powerful. They're like, you become a planeswalker, you get an immortality, you get like crazy amounts of power, you get like all these perks, you know, just for signing up. While this is happening,
endless pain,
glasses,
no more glasses. And you get dental, which is good.
The promise of most likely loneliness.
Yeah.
Yep.
So
watching everyone you love who's not a planeswalker die of old age.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you can't. Yeah. That's it.
So while this was happening, a lot more was taking place in her homeworld of Dominaria. So flashback. The rifts are being closed in what will be called the Mending. When the last great rift was sealed, it allowed all remaining fractures to heal, first in Dominaria, then throughout the multiverse. Mana was once more able to flow through Dominaria and life returned to the plane. After the Mending, however, the multiverse found a new balance with the Planeswalker spark with far-reaching consequences. So many Planeswalkers lost their immortality, like all but the most powerful Planeswalkers lost their immortality and their godlike powers. So now we got our girl Liliana, who suddenly doesn't have her immortality anymore.
Right.
And she doesn't like that because she refuses to become a Lich or vampire.
She got really used to being alive forever.
Yeah, she's got 99 problems, but a Lich ain't one.
She studied with Liches and vampires, and they all offered, like, you could just become a Lich, you know, and you'd get, like, more power. And she
but
always,
Liches be crazy.
She always refused because she kind of saw her brother die and come back to life, and it's kind of always traumatized her. And she fears death after seeing the twisted form of her brother. So she is like, not only...
I used black magic to solve my problems. How could that have gone wrong?
Yeah.
And then they were just like, well, you could just use more black magic. And they're like, no, it's like heroin.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Hey, you want another hit of this black magic?
Yeah. You could just die and come back to life. It's great.
Yeah. So she spends the better part of a century searching for an answer until eventually she seeks out one Nicol Bolas, who I mentioned earlier.
No! Evil dragon with Diablo horns and a rock floating above his head.
Yeah,
Magnet dragon.
Nicol Bolas was...
I like that idea. He's just... That's his whole thing. It's just a magnet. Just a magnet.
Hey,
look,
boys.
I can spin it.
Yeah,
it falls. Like, oh, no.
We might have some artwork. Because I like drawing dragons, and I think having Liliana, whatever the fuck she looks like, just like talking to him, and he's just got like this stupid mask on, like a shitty superhero, which is a magnet on it.
So
like when it, like what a Newton's cradle above it, just like click, click.
Yeah. Yeah.
He used his head to stick the Leviathan on his fridge when he was done with it.
So Nicol Bolas was a bad dude, like we said. He is one of the Elder Dragons, already ancient by the time Dominaria was formed. He sired whole races, populated entire planes, and then hunted them to extinction for his own amusement.
That is fucking awesome.
A bit of a psychopath, this
guy. Yeah. Sired entire races for his own sport is just a good...
Exactly.
It's just a good line written. It's just a spooky line.
Yeah. I feel like there's so many other fulfilling things to do, you know? Because, like, it just feels like you're always got...
Yeah.
It's just tedious.
Have you tried model trains?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Have you tried learning an instrument?
Yeah.
Mr. Bolas, huh?
Yeah.
Like, how many
getting
times...
Getting into an MMO.
Yeah.
Like, the end of slaughtering an entire race must get boring, right? There's, like, a couple somewhere, and you're just floating around, like, oh, where are the last two?
Yeah.
Like when you're...
Collectathons are the fucking worst.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's always 98 out of 100.
Yeah. That's why he makes only metal civilizations, so he uses his little metal magnet head to find them.
That's Yawgmoth, but I like
the metal detector, looking for little robots.
Yeah.
That's Yawgmoth, but I like the joke.
Okay, gotcha.
Dang.
It's like in StarCraft, when you're fighting against a Terran, and he lifts off and flies into the corner of the map. And you're like,
oh,
you son of a bitch.
Yeah. Or the Den of Evil in Diablo 2. And you can't beat it. There's
you're missing
one little fucking, whatever those things are called.
Pylon?
A Gorblin.
No, it's like, you have to clear this cave. You have to kill every single enemy, and there's always one hidden in a tiny corner somewhere.
Oh, there's some AI that got stuck in a wall.
Yeah.
So now Liliana goes to him, seeking some secret to his longevity, because he's like 30,000-ish years old at this point, I think.
Okay.
Bolas points Liliana to four demons who could help her.
Nicol Bolas is 30,000 years old. Dermatologists hate him.
Magnets, the secret to good skincare.
Lore boys canon.
Since the magnets on the top of his head for a facelift, he just puts little pieces of metal in his cheeks so they like kind of raise themselves.
Oh my god, this is going to be such a good picture.
So,
still stretched out.
So he points Liliana to four demons. He's like, I'm not going to help you, but I know four demons who could.
At the same time or individually?
At the same time.
Oh, so, it's like a council of demons.
Yeah, kind of. It's like they're their own council of demons. They're Grizzlebrand, Codofed, Razaketh, and Belzenlok.
Grizzlebrand?
Grizzlebrand.
Oh my god.
It was the first of the demons to be defeated, I think.
Now on the McDonald's breakfast menu.
Grizzlebrand. Hey, you want to sign a Grizzlebrand with that?
Yeah. How many Grizzlebrands do you want? Dude, that would never make it to Canada.
So they promised Liliana much of her power restored and her immortality in exchange for her servitude. And they say, so come work for us. We'll give you your power. You'll have your immortality. And then, you know what? You're free whenever we're dead.
Okay.
No problem. That's a good contract for them, right?
Yeah.
So she agrees, and she quickly realizes that working for demons is kind of shit. She's like, this sucks.
Should have read that contract.
They're always asking me to mop up their blood for them and retrieve the chain veil for them.
I signed a lease with a separate company that I've never heard of, exactly. I did technically sign the page. I'm just a fucking idiot.
Slaughter a goat every 3 p.m. Yeah. It sucks.
So she's
You get overcharged.
So she's been actively hunting those demons after making the pact with her. She immediately is just like, She was like reading her contract one day. She was like, this fucking sucks. She's looking for an out. She's like, oh, if they die, I'm absolved. Like, oh, I'm just going to go kill them then. So she's just been hunting them down for the longest time.
Because she's too stupid to read her contract.
Yeah, exactly, in the first place. Well, she ends up recruiting.
I guess I could go to Videotron and just kill everyone there.
She ends up recruiting the Gatewatch to help her kill some of them.
Do they?
Yep. She kills Grizzlebrand, Codofed, and Razaketh. Razaketh was in the Amonkhet block, in the desert plain, the Egyptian plain.
Codofed was in the cough syrup aisle in the local pharmacy. Grizzlebrand
was at McDonald's.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my god. I tried to laugh at that, but I just choked on beer.
The fourth one has eluded her up until now. The Gatewatch, after defeating the Eldrazi menace, hears about a plain Amonkhet that needs their help, so they decide to go check it out.
It's full of mummies.
Sounds like it.
It is full of mummies. It's also full of this civilization. It's like really, really cool. So it's all desert. There's this. The sun is like too hot for this world.
The Necrons.
So the gods have built a barrier over their city called the Hekma, which keeps out like the worst rays of the sun.
Cool.
So like you can't leave it for long, otherwise you'll just burn up.
Heck, Ma, it's hot out here. oh, it's Mississippi.
Thing is, Nicol Bolas, millennia ago, visited Amonkhet, killed all the gods that were there, and kind of installed his own gods. Mm. There's one for each color. And they are pretty shitty. They work for Nicol Bolas and they kind of seem to like it. So
they're shitty as in like they're weak, or they're shitty as just in bad people.
They're bad people.
They're other bad magnet dudes.
So they're all about blood sport. They have this this thing called the trials, which is there's five trials, and a bunch of people will go in, and you have to kill each other to get kill each other and accomplish something to get to the next trial. And whoever wins the last trial, like last man standing, basically gets to be killed by their god. Just like, that's your prize at the end. And
do
like,
they know?
Yeah, and they like fight each other like tooth and nail for this because their gods tell them like, oh, dude, this is what you truly want.
That's why
you know?
All these battle royale games are. You're the god, and your avatar in the game is the person who fights everyone. Gets to the end, then you go back to the lobby. Yeah. You kill them.
I don't know if I've mentioned this before. I think it's remarkable. Like the most popular genre that has ever existed is just hunting your fellow man.
Yeah.
Like what is wrong with us? Yeah. Where like two games come out, we're just like, do you want to hunt each other?
You combine
and then
that?
Everybody on Earth, except for myself and Ethan, were just like, yes.
Well, I play Rust.
So. A big thing about that, too, is like...
you just want to stove a man's head in with a
ball. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. While naked.
It did blow up a lot, but one of the things that pushed Battle Royale over the edge was Drake playing... Because it made video games to people who thought video games weren't cool kind of cool, because Drake plays Fortnite all the time. So
it was like anime with Michael B. Jordan after Black Panther.
Yeah.
Because he was just like... it's like what do you love to do? He's just like, I like to play Call of Duty and watch anime.
Yeah. Anyways, not Battle Royale. Well, it is kind of Battle Royale that you're talking about.
Well, we're just about done. So the Gatewatch chase, go to check out this plane, and they realize pretty much right away, they're like, oh, fuck, well, this is Bolas, like, interfering. So they
do they just walk up? It's like Amon Kett, and it's like, wait a second,
yeah, yeah,
like peel it back, peel it,
yeah. Nicol Bolas is House of Horrors, like
yeah, exactly. Amon Kett Industry or like Nicol Bolas Industries,
yeah, yeah.
Wait a second, all these Egyptian gods are just wearing fake mustaches, yeah, yeah. Like just a dragon doing like that Egyptian,
yeah,
thing.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly,
posing as a statue. Yeah, so the
these pyramids are all just painted on. The horizon's just on the outside of this dome.
Yeah. So, those pyramids aren't actually pyramids. The sky's just lower.
The earth is flat. Yeah.
So Nicol Bolas.
Amon flat.
He's like, the jig is up. I can't have my fun here watching these people kill each other anymore because, the cop showed up and they ruined my party where I was forcing people to kill each other for the honor of being killed.
Yeah.
Narcs, and he decides, okay, I'm just gonna fucking kill it all. He kills all his own gods, those five gods he has installed, basically like rips them apart and sews them back together to form like three new gods, the the locust god, the scarab god, and the scorpion god.
It's cool. Not even an even divide. Yeah. Like, five become three.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Like one guy with like like out of the side of his waist has like an extra scorpion leg. Yeah. I guess it's just like, but why?
But why me? Not my precious scorpion tail.
30,000 years still did not do fractions with whole numbers.
Yeah, yeah.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. He still cursed himself out. Fucking stupid.
Well, yeah. He does that to basically try and get the Gatewatch. Doesn't succeed, so he basically says, "Fuck it, I'm just gonna blow this place up." Devastates the realm and kicks the Gatewatch out. Jace ends up getting spit out in the plane of Ixalan, which was the last set. Which is a plane from which you cannot planeswalk out of.
That sucks.
So he's stuck there. He's a stowaway, or he's a castaway. And yeah, he has his little adventure there.
He's on an island, and he's blue.
And the rest of the Gatewatch is spit out on Dominaria. And it's kind of implied that Liliana kind of picked Dominaria for them. She's the most powerful of them, for sure. Of the Gatewatch.
Which one is she again? Liliana?
She's the black.
Black one.
Yeah, she's the necromancer.
What's the name of the red one? Sorry.
Chandra.
Chandra. Okay, thank you.
Think chandelier.
Okay.
Chandelier. Chandra.
Yeah.
Fuck am I saying?
Chandelier. It's got fire. There you go.
I think lilies always die. So Liliana.
Yeah, that's a good way to do it.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry if your name is Lily.
but we all die, so don't worry.
Yeah.
Except for, apparently, the Gatewatch.
Yeah. Liliana, it seems like she kind of brought them to Dominaria because this is where the fourth demon waits.
Oh.
Nyssa gets all pissed off. She says, "You brought us here, and like you let Bolas get away because you were trying to bring us here." Nyssa says, "Fuck this! I'm going home." She goes back to Zendikar. Chandra leaves as well, and it's basically just Liliana and Gideon. But they do end up killing the final demon, Belzenlok, and that's where Dominaria is today.
Awesome.
Oh, okay.
So Liliana is free? It was Liliana who was...
She just killed the last of the demons.
Cool.
So she's free from...
What was she, like, within the contract, what was she not able to do? Why was it so important?
Well, they were just able to boss her around, basically.
Oh, okay.
They could say, like, oh, go do this, and she had
and
to...
And she had to.
She was compelled to do it on some level. It's hard to say how much exactly, because... Yeah. I guess none of them ever tried saying, "Don't kill me."
Yeah. Or, like, why didn't you just, like, not do what they say and wait for them to show up? But I guess they could have waited for an inopportune time. And then,
yeah. I think after she started killing them, they kind of scattered.
Oh, okay.
But she was still limited to some degree, I guess.
Cool.
She didn't... She doesn't have full control over her own power.
Some kind of magical...
Because it's tied to these...
Yeah.
These race. Peeps.
Okay, now, I feel like after this episode, you could say Magic the Gathering, and I have an idea.
The Gatewatch is a really good I almost just did the Gatewatch story, but it doesn't really tie back into Dominaria super well, and that's what we talked about last time, and that's what the new set is about, so that's what I wanted to talk about.
Cool.
But if you really want a crash course on like where Magic the Gathering lore stands right now, just look up the Gatewatch, because that's been the adventures for the past little while.
So it started in Dominaria, is that what you're saying, or did you only start the story in Dominaria because the new set's in Dominaria? Or
the,
like,
new set's in Dominaria.
Yeah.
Last episode we talked about the history of Dominaria because they had just announced the set coming out. Now the set just came out, so I decided to talk about it.
Okay. I thought this was like homecoming from Magic the Gathering from like the very beginning. We just got
It's been a long, long time since the story has been to Dominaria. This set is called Return to Dominaria.
Okay.
And it's the 25th anniversary of Magic the Gathering.
Oh,
okay.
Oh wow.
Yeah,
they're coming back around.
So it is like a big homecoming in a lot of ways.
Awesome.
Towards the story. Cool. Like this set There's legendary cards in Magic the Gathering, which are you can't have more than one legendary card with the same name. So if you have, I have a card called Footman, you know, like he's a soldier. You can put down as many soldiers named Footman as you want.
Oh, I was picturing that it's like a superhero. I am Footman.
I got pretty confused as well.
I'm an infant. I'm a GI. You can have as many GIs down as you want. But if you have a card called Liliana of the Veil, you can put down one Liliana of the Veil. As soon as you try and put down another one, you have to get rid of one of them. You can't have two on the battlefield.
Did you open
a
Liliana of the Veil at work?
No, I opened a Liliana Accursed Healer, which was her origin story, the origin set. They all start out as creatures, and then you have to proc them, or you have to activate a triggered ability, which will let you flip them into their planeswalker form.
Cool.
Oh, cool.
With Liliana, it's, I think, whenever a friendly creature dies. So you just have to get one of your other creatures to die.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Yeah. And that's Magic the Gathering. That's Dominaria.
That's more of Magic the Gathering.
That's where we are right now, as far as the story goes.
One more question. I guess, in terms of video games, there's two card games that are out there for Magic, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Duels of the Planeswalkers.
There's Duels of the Planeswalkers, yeah. And there's Magic the Gathering Online.
Okay. And is there any
games... Yeah, I played MTGO.
Are there any games where you role play as like a planeswalker or something like that? Do you know? Like
not D&D? That I know of.
No?
Okay. I mean,
that'd be cool.
In Duels,
pending lore boys.
In Duels of the Planeswalkers, you have the story arcs where you play through each of their origin stories.
Mm-hmm. But, I played the intro to that.
You're just playing the card game, I guess.
Okay.
It's not that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know about Magic the Gathering.
I think it'd be so cool to play like a Witcher-esque type game where you're just like exploring, but with more space travel.
There's a little bit of space travel in The Witcher 3.
That'd be really cool just to play as a planeswalker and actually like feel the power come through your hands rather than play the cards. Like the card game's cool, but the story
is VR Jace Spellaran Magic the Gathering.
Make it happen, wizards. Peter, if I'm looking for you on the internet, where might I find you?
At Peter Donahue on Twitter, Lore Boys Podcast on Instagram, loreboys.wordpress.com. I do the artwork.
Mm-hmm.
That's about it. That's all that matters for me.
Okay.
Gambo.
James. My name's James. You can find me at JAYMILLK64. That's JAY milk with two L's 64 on PSN. A few of you have added me, mostly from the Twitch streams. Feel free to send me invites, but try not to send me an invite where there's just like six people screaming, because I've gotten a few of those lately. But I'm happy to play with you.
Wait, what?
There's a lot of young kids who want to play with me, and I'm so happy to play with you, but I tend to like to play a little bit more relaxed. So send me an invite. We'll play, but don't scream at me.
Send an invite, but don't fuck it up when you get your chance.
Yeah.
That's what he's saying. I'm Ethan Palmer. You can find me at Ethan the Dead Man on Twitter. It's pretty much the only place I hang out these days. If you like the show, please leave us a review, tell your friends, tell your grandmother. I'm sure she'd love it.
Your grandma loves things like Magic and BattleTech and God of War.
Yeah.
And for everyone who's interested in supporting the show financially, we have a program over here called Lore Boys Premium.
Yep.
To subscribe, it's a monthly fee. You get a little reward. This month's reward is magnets, actually. One magnet off the head of the original Nicol Bolas.
Wow.
Not that imposter, but we'll get into that next time. Make sure to subscribe. The first person to subscribe will get the magnet.
Yep. And Ethan's copy of the Black Lotus.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you have one?
No, heavens no. I have an original Alpha Black Lotus.
Yeah.
And that constitutes a Lore Boys.
Out!
Not in!
Gone.
Finished. Yeah, me too. It's dense, but I'm like following and I'm interested. Yeah.
Well, it's funny because like, a lot of the writing is like really bad sometimes. Like the recent set, it's like really, really bad writing. She's like a famous award-winning fantasy author. And we were having this conversation at work. I think it's just because like when you're a writer and you're told, like, okay, you have to write with these characters, this has to happen, like, make it happen kind of thing. I think she just phoned it in. But it's, like, so, so bad. But I'm, like, I was talking at work. I was, like, it's, like, my guilty pleasure, though. You know, it's, like, reading smut for me, reading Magic the Gathering story. Because it's, like, it's so corny and so bad, but so good at the same time.
And he,
like,
killed himself and blew up the whole universe.
He stopped time because he was sad about his brother.
Yeah, exactly.
He needs a head now.
Yeah, that's it.
Alrighty.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.